Alright, so.
Hang on a sec here.
What the hell?
Alright, so. And welcome to episode 7 of General Geekery. Welcome to last time for our commentary of Iron Man 2008 Iron Man movie. We've been wanting to do that one for a long time. I am, as always, Brian, and with me, of course, is JD.
Hello.
Normally, yeah, about this time we would tell you to go fund the Eagle Force Kickstarter, but by the time you hear this, it'll be closed. You got about 5 hours left, so unless this gets
I would say it'll probably have been closed for a couple of days. but they've unlocked a few figures from their stretch goal.
Yeah, I was going to say congratulations on unlocking 3 stretch goal figures. I was kind of curious if they get the first one done, and then I was pretty dubious about whether they'd get the second one. I was totally surprised to see them get a third. So congratulations on that. I know that's not what they were aiming for, but at least they got it funded and some stretch goals unlocked.
Well, and you know what? I think a lot of Kickstarters that go on for, I think they have that problem that at some point they start to drag just a little bit, and then as the deadline comes up, then the funding shoots back up.
Well, and I think it's like the one of the Vitruvian Hacks gals said that your funding really goes up when you start unlocking stretch goals, especially with your all-in packages.
Let's see, 185,000.
Wow, really?
Shit, they're only 5,000 away from unlocking the modern cat figure.
That's 5,000. Today they last time I checked it. I'm glad to see that's popping up in the last couple hours there.
So,
for this episode,
Bill, congratulations on funding it, and I'm hoping that you get that other 5,000 only because that'd be awesome.
Yeah, and just remember that it was us that got you funded.
Fuck yeah.
Biggest news is, of course, the Iron Fist trailer that just came out a couple of days ago.
Dude, that looks badass. I know that badass. Daredevil Season 2 sort of started. It teased some of the supernatural, spiritual type stuff, but man, it looks like Iron Fist is gonna punch straight through a wall with it. I mean, they're not holding back at all. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it looks fantastic. And JD and I were talking about this a couple of days ago, and we were going to add it onto, we were going to have this part of the last podcast, but since it was a commentary of the Iron Man movie, there was more than enough to talk about doing the commentary of the movie, so we kind of redoing this again. So, I mean, this is like really the Frankenstein episode here, to be sure.
No shit.
And I think one of the questions JD asked me is, where am I at in watching the Marvel stuff? And I told them that I'd seen Daredevil Season 1 and 2, and we're about halfway through Jessica Jones.
I went back and I rewatched the first few of Daredevil Season 1, and then the first few of Jessica Jones, and then the first few of Daredevil Season 2, and I decided that even though I really like those series, I'm not ready to do a total rewatch yet. Because, well, I did that after I finished Luke Cage, because I got through Luke Cage in a couple of days. And that is all kinds of badass. But yeah, I was going to go back and do a rewatch, but I'm not in that place where I want to rewatch them all the way. I'll probably rewatch them a little bit here and there. Because Iron Fist launches in March. So I will definitely be rewatching all of them then. Because, man, I am so excited about the Defender series that's coming at the end of next year. I mean, that is just, I mean, it's kind of what they did with the Marvel movies, you know, where they brought.
I was just going to say that.
Huh?
I was just going to say that. It's exactly what they did with the Avengers. Here's all of your, instead of having movies, they had a series of, here's your characters building up to the main team.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the same thing, but it's funny because with the TV show having a lot of time to build those characters up and, you know, not have to worry so much about editing to keep the pace, you know, within a season, you know very well who those characters are.
Yeah.
And to think that all of those characters and a lot of their supporting characters are all going to kind of come together into one series narrative is just staggering to me. I mean, Claire Temple, she's been the through line in all of these. But I know that Eldon Henson, who plays Foggy, I know he said he's been talked to about the Defenders. Simone Missick, who plays Misty Knight, she's already confirmed she is going to be in the Defenders.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
Jessica Henwick, she's going to play Colleen Wing in Iron Fist. There's an Easter egg to her in Luke Cage too. I'm not going to spoil it.
Yeah, but I haven't started watching Luke Cage.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it because you haven't seen it yet, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners may not have gotten around to it yet. But, yeah, so, and I have to imagine that if you got Misty Knight in the Defenders, of course you're going to have Colleen Wing, too. I mean, they are the daughters of the dragon, but...
Right.
And then we've seen the first pictures from the set of The Punisher, where Frank Castle is talking to... Karen Page, which again makes sense because she sort of befriended him at Daredevil season 2, but I mean all these characters, I don't know if the Punisher is going to be in the Defenders. I don't think he's going to be a Defender, but I'm absolutely certain that he'll show up.
Yeah, I'm curious to see that because there's all kinds of rumors floating around about what they're going to tie the Punisher into. You know, another season of Daredevil. Are they going to tie it into maybe? I've seen rumors and speculation that maybe they're going to try and tie it into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and maybe even go as far as having it into one of the movies itself. I don't know about that. I don't think so.
They're always speculating. Oh. And they're always teasing that maybe some of these characters will show up. They're not going to show up on the big screen. The Marvel movies, I know for a while when Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was in its first season, and it was playing off the movies a lot, they had a Twitter hashtag going that it's all connected. It's not all connected anymore. It's not connected anymore. The movies don't reference the TV show because they don't need to. And logistically, it doesn't make a lot of sense to.
Yeah.
And the TV shows, yeah, they make reference to the movies, but it's not all connected. And you know what? I'm fine with that. Because I know a lot of people want to see all the heroes in Infinity War. I really don't. I really like all these Netflix shows, and I really like all the characters on these shows. I really don't feel any need to see these gritty, street-level... basically R-rated characters from these, you know, realistic and hard-hitting, and I do mean that literally, from all of these. I don't need to see them in the glitzy big screen movie. I don't think they'll fit in because they don't need to fit in.
Yeah.
I think this Defenders, well, I don't want to call it the Defenders universe, but I want to call it this Defenders corner that they've established more than stands on its own. I don't see any reason to bring it into the cinematic portion of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think all these characters are strongest. I mean, I think they're all, again, that's literal.
Well, I think what we've got here is we've got the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is your mainstream Marvel comic books. Make an analogy here. And then your Netflix series are like your Marvel Max titles.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't need to cross over.
No.
I honestly think all of it works well enough. Now, I would not be opposed to seeing a movie of these characters someday.
Yeah.
But you don't need to. No. Because got all these series coming together in the Defenders, and I think they stand well enough on their own.
Yeah, and I think a Defenders series is gonna be able to do more with the series than they could ever do on a big screen.
Yeah, they absolutely
can.
Even
with a bigger budget, they might have a bigger budget, but they've got a fraction of the time to work with, so I don't know.
But
I kind of like it the way it is.
And I do too. I think it stands on its own just fine. I'm okay with the idea of one or more characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. showing up on the Netflix show, or having the Netflix character show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I think that'd be badass, because I've only watched the first two episodes of this season of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I mean, it's pretty hard-hitting. I mean, they've got Ghost Rider on there.
Yeah, I'm dying to watch that. I just haven't had a chance.
It's good stuff. I mean, I think it'd be cool to someday, if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. gets a fifth season, I think it'd be awesome to see the Defenders come on to that show.
You know what I want to see?
That would be... I mean, I'd love to see Coulson and Quake and Fitz and Simmons and Mac and May on interacting with, you know, with the Defenders characters. I mean, I think that'd be amazing, but...
You know what I want to see is Ghost Rider and Punisher crossover.
You know what? That's only a natural. And eventually, if they keep going with this television universe, well, I could see that happening. But there was big news from that New York Comic Con that came out.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Let's talk about the big bad for Defenders.
I mean, I don't know who she's playing. I'm not going to speculate because you'd be wrong. But the during their
Weaver
panel, they brought out Sigourney Weaver and said she's going to be playing the villain in the Defender show. Sigourney Weaver.
Holy shit, that's amazing.
That is huge. I mean, up until now, in these movies, the biggest, most well-known character on there has been Samuel L. Jackson playing Nick Fury. But he basically crossed from the movies into the show. And the movies, the MCU movies, have a lot of A-list actors that play these parts. But it's kind of staggering that they managed to bring that huge of a movie star into this television miniseries. I mean, that's insane to me.
I think that speaks, if nothing else, it speaks to how good of a product Marvel in general is putting out, that all of these A-list movie stars want to be part of this
franchise. I completely agree.
In some form or another.
We thought it was a coup when we found out that Robert Redford was going to be in Captain America and that James Spader was going to be in the Avengers. And I mean, they started off with a bang with Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. And then you got Glenn Close in, of all things, the Guardians of the Galaxy. And she's coming back for the sequel.
I saw that.
Kurt Russell is in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Kurt fucking Russell. I'm used to seeing these huge actors on these big screen movies, but man, when they said Sigourney Weaver was going to play the Defenders Big Bad, I'm like, that is just incredible. You're right. That's a testament to how well they are handling these projects, because 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen anything like that.
No, I wholeheartedly
10 years ago, this Defenders thing would have been a glorified TV movie, and it would have been forgettable.
Yeah, it would have been starring, you know, like David Hasselhoff or something.
Yeah, no shit. But, I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to speculate on who Sigourney Weaver might be playing. For one, all these Netflix characters, I love all of them from what I've seen them in. I'm not well-versed in any of their comics. I know a lot of them from various comics I have read, and various, you know, cartoons I've seen over the years, and the Marvel video game I was playing for a while. So I couldn't even begin to guess, but, and I'd be wrong anyways. I mean, I always hear people speculate about Easter eggs that they throw into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, what could that possibly mean? And then people give all their predictions, and 90% of the time they're dead wrong anyways, because they go off in a completely unpredictable, sometimes odd direction. But Sigourney fucking Weaver, that is so damn cool.
That is. I gotta.
I mean, she.
Huh? I have to agree with that, and it just makes me wonder. You know, okay, we've got Daredevil, we've got Jessica Jones, we've got Luke Cage, we've got Punisher, we're gonna have the Defenders, and clearly this is working for them. So you cannot tell me they're not going to have more Netflix shows at some point in time with more characters, whether they start, you know, like you were saying, this is kind of the Defenders universe. I think that's an apt description. With those characters, I think they could start up a parallel one with any number of characters, and I think that the possibility exists, and I'm curious to see where they'll go with that, because clearly they can do it.
Well, when they announced, I want to say, I think it was 2013, they announced that Netflix had just inked a deal with Marvel to bring Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist into their own shows, and then they bring them together as the Defenders. I mean, that was a big announcement. That was a big deal because, again, nothing like that had been done before. But even at the time, a lot of this stuff all seemed so far away. And then Daredevil was a huge hit. And then Jessica Jones comes and it's a huge hit. And Daredevil was such a big hit that right away, because some of the other shows hadn't gotten off the ground yet, they were still in the planning stages and everything was there for Daredevil. They just brought it all together and they gave him a second season. And then Luke Cage just premiered, and from what I understand, a few hours or something after it came online, it broke the internet, or it broke Netflix for a little bit, because
I saw that
it was overloaded, and then Iron Fist got the trailer at the comic convention, and people went absolutely wild for it, and then
these
again,
are not
now,
A-list.
Now you look at,
these are not A-list Marvel characters by any means.
Fuck no.
I mean, Daredevil is kind of, but beyond that, they're not. And it's just the audience that appreciates the fact that these are B-list, even some of C-list characters that are just going crazy for this. It's just, I think that speaks to the depth of the Marvel fan base.
Well, and look at it this way. When they announced all of this stuff, Punisher wasn't mentioned. I mean,
no. The
only Punisher came up when they announced that he'd be one of the villains / co-stars of Daredevil Season 2, but it was never planned to give him a TV series.
Well, that's because they didn't have the rights to him at the time. They still didn't have, I think it was shortly after they announced the Daredevil, and Daredevil may have already been out, but simultaneously they got the rights back to Punisher, Ghost Rider, and Blade.
Well, oh yeah, that's true. I forgot that's what happened. But I mean, but he wasn't. And then the response was huge. So
yeah.
He's getting a TV series, yep. and then it's all just so trippy that now, because I saw an interview with Mike Coulter, who is goddamn amazing as Luke Cage. He was born to play that role.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I never, ever want to see anybody else attempt to play Luke Cage again. It's a lot like Robert Downey Jr. Nobody else can play Iron Man. People say, well, eventually they'll have to recast him. Not in our lifetime, they better not. But I saw an interview with him, and the interview was about Luke Cage because I think the interview was conducted a few days or a week after his show premiered and was huge. And during that interview, on camera, they had they had the other defenders Skype in and just talk to him. And it was kind of cool because Finn Jones, that's playing Danny Rand, hadn't actually talked to Mike Coulter yet.
No, that's what you're
saying. They hadn't met. So that was kind of cool to actually see Luke Cage talking to the other defenders. But they mentioned that because they just finished filming Iron Fist. Like last week, they did his season finale. And he said that they're only getting like, there's like 3 weeks, like 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, they're starting to shoot the defenders. I can't wait to see the first picture from the set.
Oh, I know.
But, and now we've only got 5 months until Iron Fist. And then, I mean, probably just over a year from now, we're going to see the defenders. Dude, that's huge.
Yeah.
But, and then meanwhile, on the movie side of things, next year, you got Spider-Man's next movie. You got Thor 3.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Thank you. Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in May. And then in 2018, we're getting the Black Panther movie. And I think we're getting... Is that when Ms. Marvel's coming out?
I don't remember what the release date on Captain Marvel is.
I don't know, but that's right. She's Captain Marvel. But
they keep changing all those. I can't keep up with it, so I don't even try.
No. But I mean, really, I'm so excited for the Defenders. I mean, there was a picture of the four actors together. Just, I can't wait to see them kicking ass.
See the one with Sigourney Weaver in there, too? I mean, they had them all together at one point.
No, this was just a photograph of the four of them. But, yeah, there was a picture of the four of them on stage at that panel, and along with Jeff Loeb, who executive produces this stuff. And it's like these characters – that, like you said, some of them, I mean, they're B-list, C-list, some of them are D-list characters. They're being elevated to the status of almost A-list.
Yeah, I think that's phenomenal. So I have to wonder, you know, now that they have the rights back to, I just want to throw out a couple of things that I picked up over the past couple of days, too. You know, they got the rights back to Blade. What are they going to do with that? I did see Wesley Snipes say that he would be open to picking that back up if Marvel was interested.
You know what? I'd love to see it because he was awesome as Blade.
I do too.
The only thing that tells me that they won't, the only thing that says that they wouldn't bring him back is simply because all of the other characters that have been recast doesn't, like, they didn't try to get Thomas Jane or Ray Stevenson back for the Punisher.
Yeah.
No, they got John Barenthal. And then,
that's where I'm wondering if they would want to do a movie, which was my initial thought, is if they're going to do a movie. But then I was going to say, you know, I think this would be an excellent one for a Netflix series. I think Blade would make an excellent Netflix series.
I can totally see them putting Wesley Snipes in a Blade movie or in a Blade TV show, not necessarily as Blade, though. Because let's face it, he's getting a little bit old. I'm not saying he's too old to play the part. What I'm saying is, because if you look at the rest of the Defenders, all of those actors are in their early 30s. Wesley Snipes is no spring chicken.
Agreed.
I can see him wanting to play. I can see them putting him in as Blade's mentor or a supporting character or, you know, Blade. I can totally see that. I just don't see them putting him in as the main character when there's much fresher.
Yeah, and I would agree. I would rather see them, see them pick a semi-unknown to do a Netflix series than see, Wesley Snipes return for a movie, and I have absolutely nothing against Wesley Snipes, and one of the few people that love the Blade movies. I've seen Blade 3 was kind of weak, but you know, I think Ryan Reynolds helped a bit in that. But, you know, that's just my opinion. The other thing that I saw recently is that Matt Smith of Doctor Who fame said that he is interested in being part of the Marvel either cinematic universe or television universe. So usually when these guys expressed interests, you know, it does not go unnoticed.
I wonder if he's got anything specific in mind, or if it's one of those things, he's like, I want to be in a Marvel movie, I don't care what part it is.
Yeah, I think it's kind of just general interest in being in something, you know, so there's, who knows, I just think it's cool that, you know, the Marvel franchise is this powerful that people are, like, gravitating towards it.
Dude, I am waiting for the announcement that Arnold Schwarzenegger will eventually join the Marvel Universe. He's going to. It's inevitable. it's gonna happen. I'm waiting for somebody to make the crossover from. I'm waiting for somebody from Star Wars to show up in one of the movies or the TV shows. Like, I take that back. That's already happened because Jessica Henwick, that's playing Colleen Wing, she was in The Force Awakens.
Really?
As one of the X-Wing pilots. Yeah, I just thought about that. Okay, well, hey, that ground's already broken. I don't know. It would be kind of funny to see Matt Smith play like Moon Knight or somebody because...
Oh, man.
He can play wacky, and he can play it totally respectably, and Moon Knight is off his gourd. He's out of his gourd. So.
Yeah, no, that's... Dude, mind blown right there, man.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? I just thought about it because I'm like, well, if they're gonna get some of these characters of the night, like Blade and Punisher, if they're gonna get them out there in sort of and Ghost Rider, Moon Knight would fit in. I'm like, well,
dude,
if he
that's
wants to
brilliant.
Play-
I would love to see a Moon Knight Netflix series, dude, they could fucking kill with. Oh man. Yeah, Marvel, make it happen. I don't care who's cast as it.
Or have Moon Knight be the supporting character in one of the other things to start with. Because, dude, that would be so cool.
How about Punisher Season 2?
Get Nomad in there, too. No, never mind. Perhaps, maybe, new. This is just so... I don't know. This is exciting shit. Totally. We are living in the perfect time to be geeks.
Well, and I've said that many times. This is the golden age of geeks. So one of the things that we did a few podcasts ago, which seemed to get was very well taken, is book reviews. And we had talked about following that up with some books that that we had said we were going to read, and we are to that point, basically. JD read The Martian.
I did, and holy shit. Okay, not only did it live up to your recommendation, and it lived up to the hype that I've seen for that book, but it was more interesting than even I expected, because when stranded astronaut Mark Watney is sitting there doing those log entries every day and talking about what exactly he did in this little habitat to make life livable and survivable and, you know, make himself thrive. In any other book by any other author, that may have been a little bit boring, maybe, but not here, no. This had me absolutely riveted.
Totally.
And then when you get to see life on Earth and the people at NASA and the Jet Propulsion Lab that are working that find out that this guy's still alive, and they start putting a plan together to try to rescue him, and then his shuttle crew that thought he was dead and had to leave him behind, when they decide to get back, to go back and rescue him, dude, this entire book was amazing. Like,
yeah, it really
is. I never doubted your recommendation, but I was just blown away by how good it really was in terms of it's so accessible. It is atypical sci-fi in that it's totally relatable.
Yes.
You know what else was cool? You know what else was really cool? They talk about what NASA's done. Okay, because this program that puts these people on Mars is the Ares program. And they describe all of that. But he does the smartest thing an author can do. He does not put years or dates on it.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell exactly when it takes place because he talks about contemporary day-to-day life in the time that he's living. You know, he mentions things like Wikipedia and, in fact, he even talks about, if they rescue me, this is going to be part of my Wikipedia entry.
Right.
And I don't know if this is supposed to take place in the near future, 5 years from now, in a parallel universe where NASA actually has funding, or if this is supposed to take place 30 years from now, when some of these geniuses that are inventing all this cool shit for us in the real world that these corporations won't invest the money in, or 50 years from now, because I have no doubts that 30 years from now, Wikipedia is still going to be a thing. Oh, but yeah. I don't know when it's supposed to take place. I just know that all of these characters in this book felt like people that you'd know in any era.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so cool. Like, the technology, the space technology here, the exploration stuff, the survival stuff, like the habitat and the Mars rover and all that stuff, it is totally plausible that had funding for NASA and the enthusiasm for space exploration that they had from, like, the 50s until the 80s, had that continued, I know that we could be shortly where they already are in this movie. Yeah, but
totally.
But it was...
And you liked the movie then, too.
Awesome. Yes, and I liked the book so much. Of course, I told Brian, after he recommended the book, well, then I'll see the movie. Because at the time, I said, well, even if I mean, I'll see it anyways, but hopefully it'll be because I like the book enough to want to watch the movie. So I did. I love the book. It kept me engrossed all the way. Like it never lost my interest at all. And then I went to the video store and I rented the movie and I watched the movie and I sat in rapt fascination again. Okay, how often in life does a movie come along that's adapted from a book that not only is equally
entertaining?
Yes, but that also so accurately translates into the film. I cannot believe how much of that story actually got into the movie. What happens usually when they adapt a movie from a novel?
They cut so much stuff out that you're just sitting there the whole time going, God damn it, they cut that out. God damn it, they cut that out. God damn it, they
cut that out. And what's the other thing that usually happens? All of a sudden, a bunch of characters that you liked in the book disappear because they can't fit them into the movie.
Right.
Or you end up with characters
that are definitely
one certain character from the book, but they may have a different name, or they may have combined two characters into one, or they may just, for whatever reason, they feel the need to, instead of using this character or that character, let's just completely make up a whole different character for, you know, to fill the same role. They didn't do any of that here.
No.
All of the astronauts in Watney's shuttle crew all have the same first and last name. All of the
same personalities.
All of the people that work at NASA have the first and last name. The media director, she's in there. The satellite tech that first discovered this guy was still alive was in there. All of these characters, including the two characters that run the Chinese space program that literally only had a few pages in the book, but it was an important part. They made the cut. You even had cameos by the families of these astronauts that they were talking about over their video feeds in the shuttle. I cannot believe that. And on top of that, they did all of that, and the movie is only 2 hours and 15 minutes long. It isn't like they made a four-hour epic out of it.
No.
They just fit all of this stuff so economically. When you see the shots of Matt Damon just living life as Mark Watney in this habitat day to day, the things that you see him doing, the things that he's not narrating or he's not doing a log entry about in the movie, are things that he did do log entries of in the book. Like when he described his whole process of how the hell he got these potatoes to grow, he described in detail the day-by-day process in the book. And you see him do it in this movie. It's so cool. It's like some of those words translated directly into the movie. Everybody involved with that movie clearly loved the book so much that they decided, hey, let's not desiccate it. Let's just make an accurate movie and see how that works out.
So that's two thumbs up then for the movie and the book then.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for the recommendation.
And next up, I think I'm going to try one of those other books that you recommended to me.
Altered Carbon. Try that one. I think you'll dig that one. It's.
I went to the library looking for it, and this branch doesn't have it. They're going to have to actually order it from one of the other branches so I can read it.
Yeah, it's holy shit, it's phenomenal. Blow your mind. You'll want to customize even more because you're like, I need to customize this guy. I don't know what I want to do. Trust me, dude, once you get it, we'll talk about that when you read the book. It's one of my favorite sci-fi books ever, is Altered
Carbon. Fuck yeah.
And then I was going to review, I read The Force Unleashed 1 and 2 books, and I've never played the video games. I have most of the action figures because they came out during the tail end of the 30th anniversary. They were new characters. They were awesome figures. Some of my favorite Star Wars figures, actually, are from The Force Unleashed.
Coolest damn trooper variations, certain.
Definitely. So I was really excited to read these books. Unfortunately, for the most part, it was like reading a video game walkthrough. There was definitely some backstory to some of the characters that they provided, but you know, it's like, you know, this must be a cutscene in the video game, and just the way that how he made his way across various terrain to fight people and the fights. It's like, okay, this is clearly a boss fight. You know, I mean, it's,
and then you got the minion fights.
Yeah, exactly. And you did, and you do. It's funny you should say that, but yeah, you do. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying it was bad or unreadable, but it was definitely like reading a video game walkthrough. So
it wasn't as narratively interesting as they, like. You mean they could have expanded on what was in the book and given it, made it feel a little more literary and not quite so much like the strategy guide for the game?
Yeah, and they tried to do that in certain spots, and you could definitely tell where he put some effort into it, but it's like you're trying to, It's like, it's the opposite of what we just talked about. You know, they made a movie of this book, so now they already have a script that they're writing a book to, and it just doesn't work well in reverse, I don't think.
I wonder if that was partly on the author, or if that was and because that's what he wanted to do to make sure he was true to the spirit of the game, or if that was sort of what he was directed to do, as in these are marketing tools. It's part of our marketing program. Recreate the game in the book and make it interesting enough to read.
I'm going
to
say the latter.
It was both.
Could be a mixture of both. I'm going to say it's probably more the latter, that it's a marketing tool. I'm reading one of his other books right now because I was like, I thought the same thing. I'm like, okay, is this the author's style, or is it, was it something that he was pretty much directed to do? So I am reading one of his older public books right now, and about halfway through that, and it does not have the feel of a video game walkthrough. So
so that's definitely something that he was probably contracted to do, and then you give him. Of course, wait a minute. It's Old Republic. Isn't that based on... That's what is that, the computer game or the console video game? Or?
Yeah, it's a console video game as well, but there's a lot of stuff, I think, that they added to that did not happen in the video games. I'm not positive about that, but as near as I can tell...
That's funny.
They expanded on that universe beyond what the video games did.
See, that's weird. Now, you got... He writes another book inspired by a completely different Star Wars video game, and it also has a completely different feel to it. That, what an interesting...
Well, because I don't think this one's... I think it's, you know, the Knights of the Old Republic is a timeline, not so much here are the characters from the video game. I don't know that any of these characters in this particular book appeared in any of the video games.
Who are the villains? That's Malgus?
No. Yes, in the video game, yeah. And he is in one of the books, but he's not the big bad in this book.
Oh, okay. Is this Bastila Shan or Stila? Stella Shan, or it's one of the Shans, right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Okay. I can't remember her name either right off the top. She makes a brief appearance at this point in time. She is she's the Grand Master of the Jedi.
Oh, shit. So she's like Yoda and Mace Windu. Nice.
Yeah, pretty much.
So this book is, what, mostly populated by characters that stand on their own and don't need the video game to help?
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it's a really enjoyable book so far. I'm about halfway through, so...
Have you been inspired to do any customs from it?
Not really. I mean, it's funny you should say that, because every time I find the Old Republic stuff, I inevitably get on YouTube and look at the cutscenes. Somebody has always taken all of the cutscenes and stitched them together. I think one of my favorite YouTube ones is the one with Darth Maul or Darth Magnus in it, or Malgus in it. I'm sorry, Darth Magnus. Where I can't remember which video game it is, but it starts like it's the one where the Sith War, where they go to Coruscant and basically destroy the Jedi Temple and take over the universe again, or take over the galaxy again.
Is that the first or 14th time they did that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah,
but the cutscene. I mean, it's a fifth. It was three video games. They did the cuts. There's a cutscene from each one, and stitched them all together. And it's a 15-minute video, and it's fantastic.
Nice.
I mean, I'm going to post it on the Facebook page, so you can watch it. It's take a what. Sit down and watch
it. Oh, I'll watch it, because I think last week I posted a couple of the cinematic scenes from the Battlefront video game. They weren't so much cutscenes for story as those were the they were the narrative parts where it, I don't think it was so much a player as I think it was like the stuff in between. But I don't know. I just, you know what, it was cool to watch. It was interesting to watch, especially for me. I'm not a gamer. I'm certainly not a console gamer. It's the console controllers. I mean, I've tried. I played with the kids, but I'm like, you know what? This is all just it's beyond me.
It's not my cup of tea. I got nothing against those that do it, but it's not my cup of tea.
Oh no! In fact, I have respect for these people. You know, you do this. You play these games, and you're really good at it. And I'm none of that. So
yeah, no. I think my biggest problem with this, with these video games, is there are some phenomenal characters. Some of the Sith Lords, like the Dread Masters, and there are no action figures for these, and it just breaks my heart. Some of these guys, there are a lot of depth and detail into these. We've got the Force Unleashed, and it's like you could do a whole nother line of, you know, I want them decently articulated, but I don't want 5 points of articulation, but they could do a whole separate line of these toys.
Yeah, because they made what? Raven, Malik,
yes.
Nihilus, and
Sean.
What, Darth Phobos, and there was a, shit, there's only been one or two other ones, right? Like, I mean,
there's
it's
been a
like,
few.
And then, you know, maybe one of the Jedi or so, yeah, because I think they made Bastila Shan.
They
but
did,
they're
I,
not,
I have her carded still.
But yeah, I mean, and the fans are always calling for more figures from the games, but
with good reason. I mean, you sit down, you get on YouTube, and you watch these videos, and it's like, holy shit, this guy's fucking a badass fucking Sith Lord. I want a figure of this, and I think there's one customizer that we need to get on the show, and I'll talk to you about him sometime, and we'll see if we can get this guy on the show. Because he's the one that's usually making customs of these. Anytime I look to see if anybody's made a custom of this particular character.
Oh, it's this guy.
Yeah, it's this guy. So,
all right, so thumb up or thumbs down for The Force Unleashed and The Force Unleashed 2.
Thumb sideways.
Okay, and then for, what's the other book called? What'd you say it was? Deceived?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so thumb up or thumb down
so
far?
So far, thumbs up.
Okay. So, thumb sideways. That's funny. I'm saying it's funny because it's not bad, but it's just totally neutral.
Yeah, I can't put any worse than that. I mean, I wanted to really like it, but it just had too much of a video game walkthrough feel to it, and it was really hard to get past that, and so it was all right, but I wouldn't, you know, there's other things to, with all the other stuff out there to read, I would probably go for that first before this. But I don't think it's the author, and I know he's written other stuff, so for the Star Wars.
You know what? I thought about it on another Star Wars note today. The book Ahsoka was released. Star Wars Ahsoka. It's the story of from in the Clone Wars TV series.
Yeah, post Order 66, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Anakin Skywalker's Padawan stops being a Jedi before the war is over. And yeah, this is basically a chronicles post Order 66, and then for a few years of her life, sort of on the run and in hiding, because obviously at that point being a Jedi is outlawed because it just brings the Empire down on you. And yeah, it kind of shows. As far as I've gotten, I'm about 3/4 of the way through. I'm listening to the audiobook because the audiobook was narrated by Ashley Eckstein, who's the actress that provided Ahsoka's voice.
Oh, really?
In the cartoon. Yeah, they actually got the actress to come in and read the Ahsoka book.
I
so
love it when they do
it's
stuff
really
like
cool.
That.
I mean, that doesn't happen very often, only because the Star Wars audiobooks, in general, they have a set number of people that they usually have do them because they're wildly successful at it. And they're some of my favorite audiobook narrators. There's Mark Thompson, who's the master of about 8,000 different voices. There's January Lavoie, who reads a lot of the Leia type stuff, and because that the way she reads it, you can get into Leia's head with no question of what you're reading. And she does an awesome job portraying her. And then there's Jonathan Davis, who's got a perfect radio narration voice. Honestly, if this guy decided to read the step-by-step mini blind installations or something, somehow he'd make it interesting. Honest to God. But those are usually the core three narrators that they get for the Star Wars books. Every once in a while, like Tarkin, the novel Tarkin was read by another voice actor named Ewan Morton, who did a good job for that book. He was really good in that part.
How was that book?
Awesome.
How was that book?
Oh, Tarkin? Dude, you should read it.
Yeah,
you are an Imperial fanatic. You need to read Tarkin.
Yeah, I think that's going to be next on my list.
The audiobook, Ewan Morton does a really good impression of Tarkin, and he does a great job narrating the technical details of the way the Empire works. So it was good for that book. But very rarely do the Star Wars books go outside of Mark, Jonathan, and January, because they don't necessarily need to. The fans love them doing these books. Mark Thompson, he's done in the canon books. He did A New Dawn. He did Dark Disciple, and which was the Asajj Ventress book. He did.
Yeah, I didn't read that one too.
He did Heir to the Jedi, which was sort of interesting for the first half of it. I mean, the story itself. And then Jonathan Davis, next month, they've got Star Wars Catalyst. It's the prequel to Rogue One.
Nice.
Jonathan Davis is reading that. He also read Battlefront Twilight Company, and he read Lords of the Sith. But yeah, for the Ahsoka novel, all of a sudden nobody said anything about, I read all the Star Wars news sites, nobody was talking about an audio version of Ahsoka, and Audible never had it listed. The other sites never had it listed. There wasn't anything about it. So I thought, well, maybe it's one of those rare cases where, for whatever reason, a Star Wars book doesn't get an audiobook. Sometimes maybe it's a timing thing. Sometimes, I don't know, but it doesn't. The book last year, Before the Awakening, which told a little bit of story about Finn, Poe, and Rey before Episode 7 takes place, it didn't have an audiobook. I don't know. But and then all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, some website, it's the German Star Wars book website, usually. I think they broke the news. Jedi Bibliothek. They put out the news, and because they confirmed that Ashley Eckstein was going to be doing Ahsoka, the book, and everybody lost their damn minds.
I'll bet.
Because everybody loves Ahsoka, and the fans went absolutely crazy that the actress herself was going to read it. I mean, it's trippy to hear her read the whole book because, I mean, I've listened to 1,000 interviews with her. She's real personable, and she's real invested in being a part of the Star Wars universe, but it's just, there's like extra meaning hearing her narrate the story about this character that she alone brought to life. So that book came out today. I haven't finished it yet, but what I've read has been pretty good. And next time we do a book review, I will talk more about it.
Awesome. And we're getting pretty close to almost being done with our 2 hours, so we're going to close it off with, again, bootleg action figures.
Woohoo!
Today,
I think it's been an episode or two since we talked about it, and I'm pretty sure that our dedicated fan base has probably been wondering, well, where's the bootleg talk? Hey, it's back.
I got it today. I got it from off of eBay from China. I sent JD a picture of it. I'll post a picture of it on the...
I can't fucking believe that thing's a bootleg. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Had you not told me, I would have figured that it was something that you bought for your collection. It was official. It doesn't look like it. Today, I was at Family Dollar, and I sent Brian a couple pictures of some bootleg shit they had there. They had these rip-off Transformers that they called Mars Changers or something. They're these semi-decent looking robots, I guess, that transform into these ridiculous robot dinosaurs. It's a shitty ripoff of the Dinobots. And then right next to it, they had one of those knockoff action figure lined. It was like a police SWAT squad set. I sent Brian a picture of this. This thing is so shitty. These figures are so cheap. And all the accessories, all the diorama stuff it comes with, are all so ridiculous that I couldn't even get it for dios. Really, I sent Brian a picture, and he responded with, "Oh, my eyes!" Yeah, yeah. They're that bad.
So, the
figure... you got a good bootleg thing. I can't believe it's a bootleg. That's crazy.
So what I have here is, it has all of the Marvel markings. It has the trademarks. We're talking, it's a Iron Man Mark 43 action figure for Marvel Select. It has the Marvel Select logo on there. It has the Marvel Avengers Age of Ultron logo on there. It's in the clamshell that it normally comes in. It has all of the same art. You know, there's always a nice piece of art along one of the spines. There's the art on the back. Is there the description of the figure, close-ups of the parts? It's a phenomenal looking figure. It comes with three interchangeable heads, so you've got the fully enclosed armored head, and then a Robert Downey Jr. head, and then a Robert Downey Jr. head in the armor with a removable faceplate. Then it's got interchangeable hands, so you've got open palm and closed fist. And this is kind of what says, "Hi, I'm a bootleg." It comes with open and closed fist infinity gauntlet. That fits, you know, on Iron Man.
I would say everything about it seemed official. And then, oh, there's the integrity. It just flew out the window.
Yep.
Like it had repulsors.
Yep. It's like, you know, it has all the artwork. It has all the logos. It has all the trademarks. Everything. The figure is top-notch. It's got all the normal accessories. And then, wait a second. Why is there an infinity gauntlet with this figure? And, yeah, I don't know where it came from. It is clearly bootleg, though.
All right. So, is it a good Infinity Gauntlet, or does it look like some shit they just threw in the package?
No, it's top notch. I mean, Marvel Select is definitely known for they're a little taller than the Marvel Legends figures. Sometimes this is Marvel Legends size, I would say. Sometimes they're a little bigger than the Marvel Legend figures, but this one's about Marvel Legend size. The detail of the sculpt is phenomenal, and even on the Infinity Gauntlet, the paint apps are immaculate on this thing.
Nice. Well, I didn't mean so much if it was shit, or if it just seemed like it was just sort of more of an accessory that they tacked on, but no, it actually looks like it belongs there, huh?
Yeah, no, the it's in the clamshell packaging, and it's there's you know specific spot for both of the Infinity Gauntlets to be in with the figure.
So what made you buy the bootleg? Is it because the official one is expensive or rare?
There isn't an official one.
Easier to get.
There is not an official one.
Oh, well, okay, then that makes sense why you would want to get a bootleg, because otherwise you don't have the Mark 43 armor in your collection.
Yep, I have all of the Marvel Select figures, and I kept seeing this one with the Infinity Gauntlet, and I'm like, I know that's a bootleg, because I know none of the Marvel Selects come with the Infinity Gauntlet, so I figured it was just a bootleg of the Mark 43, and I'm like, I'll go downstairs and see what my Mark 43 looks like, I don't have a Marvel Select Mark 43.
So, alright, so, are you opening it, or are you leaving it in the package?
I'm leaving it on the package. I've got, most of mine are still carded, so I've got a nice little display going.
Okay, I was going to ask you if it felt like an official figure. So, it looks like an official figure, it's painted like an official figure. It's just not official, simply because Hasbro didn't make one, so somebody took the initiative to decide to make their own, basically use the Hasbro template, right? And then
It's funny you should say that. There is no Hasbro logo on here at all.
Oh, that's funny. So they use the Marvel logo, but they don't reference Hasbro at all.
Nope. They've got the Avengers, they've got the Iron Man, they've got the Marvel Legends. Yeah, but there is... it's not like it's an unproduced one that didn't get out, you know, that it didn't get released, because it would still have Hasbro markings on it. It does not have Hasbro markings on it anywhere.
Oh, so basically, it's like a missing puzzle piece for your collection. And now, so if Hasbro never gets around to making one, that's okay. You've got one anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the package
is gorgeous. It is. I mean, I don't blame you for leaving it in the package, because that's a real presentation piece.
Yeah, I mean, it does not look like a bootleg. It looks like an official figure.
No, it doesn't.
They used all the, I mean, even the fonts for the lettering are spot on. There's a, you know, Arc Reactor logo that is, you know, on stuff and that you see all the time for Iron Man stuff. It's on there. But, yeah, there is no Hasbro marking on it. It is a bootleg, and you cannot, aside from the Hasbro, if you didn't notice, and I didn't notice until you said that, but, yeah, there is no Hasbro logo on this anywhere.
Huh. Well, when you sent me that picture, had you not actually mentioned that it was a bootleg, I never would have realized. When I saw it, I was going to respond to, oh, cool, where'd you get it, from eBay? I just figured it was just a new edition or collection that, you know, you just obtained. I never. Well, because you sent it to me in response to the shit bootleg that I sent you the picture of, and I'm like, had you not told me, I never would have guessed. I would have just assumed that it was something that you would have ordered from Diamond Select or something.
Oh, that's, yeah. You know what? No Diamond Select logo on here either.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny because we were in the Disney store last week with the kiddo, and they have, I was looking at the Marvel Select Black Widow, the Marvel Select Hulk, and there's another character. Name? I don't remember. There was a third one on there, on the shelf, and I mean, they're impressive. I mean,
they are.
They're friggin' cool looking. And I mean, even at the Disney store where things are overpriced, I mean, they're going to be no matter what. But honestly, because isn't the price point on those Marvel Select, aren't they like 25 or 30 bucks each anyways?
Yeah.
Well, even at the Disney store, I picked it up out of curiosity, and I half expected the thing was going to say it was 45, but no, it's 34. I think it was like 30, $33.99 or something, and I was surprised. I thought it'd be a little more of a price than that, but I mean, for the quality that they are, for the presentation of them, I mean, they're well done. So to have this bootleg come out looking so close to that, that's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. You would not know it. I'll post some pictures of the figure after the episode goes live, so we can have a frame of reference for it. But I'll take, you know, like front and back and some close-ups of the figure. But you would not know. And I had to do some research because it looks that good. Like it's like I've missed a figure somewhere. How did I miss this? And I kept doing, you know, there's plenty of websites that if you want to know what figures were in what line, you just have to find the right website. Somebody has made a list of what figures are in what lines. And
I love the dedication people have.
Oh yeah, totally.
To actually put reference sites like that together. Like that's great. I'm glad that somebody out there does that.
And we love you guys. Whoever you guys are that do that, we love you for it. Thank you. It helps us immensely.
You're doing the work of God, sons.
Totally.
Thank you.
I could not find this figure on any of those lists. And I'm like, well, maybe the lists are incomplete, but I looked at two or three different lists. And then, you know what? I know I have all of the Marvel Select Iron Man figures. I mean, I specifically had a list that I was going off of. There was one that came out in the Iron Man 2 line that it was exclusive only to Borders. I have that one. That one's loose, unfortunately. I wish I had that one carded. You can't get that one carded for less than a couple hundred bucks, but I got a really good deal on a loose one from somebody that didn't know what it was. But I went downstairs and I didn't have it on the wall. I mean, that's how I know it's bootleg. I have all of the other ones. Because I specifically, this was the collection that I put together last year, was all the Marvel. I finished the 3¾-inch Marvel figures a couple of years ago. I finished the Marvel Legends figures year before last, and then last year I got all of the Marvel Select figures. So,
have I ever mentioned that you're kind of a nerd for Iron Man? I don't know.
No, if you've
been made aware of that.
No,
but,
I don't think I've ever heard that from you before.
are you? What the hell? What the hell is in the Marvel Legends? Every once in a while, I'll see the shit on Facebook. But honestly, like the Marvel, what I see posted from these Marvel websites, it seems to me like every other month there's like six more waves of Marvel Legends.
No.
I saw some like from the Comic-Con, there was some Marvel Legends stuff coming out. But is there anything that you're currently, like, on the lookout for Marvel Legends, or do you have everything out so far that you need?
As far as Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
or is there stuff that you're always looking? I don't know if there's anything.
There is
new
one figure, there is no one idea. Marvel Legends figure I do not own, and that is the, they made it an exclusive to the people that got the comic book subscription, internet subscription. And that is the Marvel Legends Pepper Potts rescue figure.
Oh, what would you have to donate kidneys or something to get enough money for that?
I don't see him going for less than about $100-$120.
Huh.
And I just don't have that kind of money for one figure.
Fuck no, for one figure, crazy.
I'm waiting on that one. I've bid on it a couple of times, but I've never gone, you know, it's like I'm not going above a certain price point, and they always do. But I wanted one of the things they did with that subscription service several years ago now, was the 3¾-inch Nick Fury. He came in a really cool packaging with a bunch of...
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I got one of those.
And that's the thing. They made
Hasbro Toy Shop clearance did after a while.
That's it. They did. So I'm waiting to see if they do the same thing with the Pepper Potts figure.
Yeah, I remember that's the only reason that showed up, and you're like, hey, they got it. I'm like, oh, wow, that's the only reason I'm going to own that then.
Yeah, and that's the same thing. I wanted that figure. I'm a huge, you know, old-fashioned Nick Fury fan, and I wanted that figure, and I wasn't going to pay the $100 for the subscription or whatever it was. So I didn't get it. And then a couple years later, they showed up at Hasbro Toy Store for, you know, $25 or something like that. Something ridiculous. You know, a quarter of what they were going for on eBay on the secondhand market. And that's where I picked it up. So I'm hoping they're going to do the same thing. That is the only Marvel Legends figure I do not own.
Huh. Is there anything coming out that you need? Like, because I know sometimes they do these waves that are sort of dedicated to, because I know there's an X-Men wave recently, and there was a Spider-Man wave last year, and I know because half of them are still peg warming.
They're doing them close to the movie releases too, because the one that's coming out right now is Doctor Strange related.
Oh yeah, I probably won't see any of those. It's funny because last year they had a wave come out with like Captain Marvel and the Hawkeye, and it was like a Odin build a figure. It was like Sentry and somebody Hellcat. Half of those things are still sitting at the store. I'm like, I remember when some of the Marvel Legends figures were hard to get. Some of those, man, they just won't go away.
Yeah, that's you know, when it comes to something like that, where I found good deals is Amazon. You'd be surprised at how many decent action figure deals that you can get on Amazon.
I would be surprised, because usually if you look at Amazon, those people are like eBay scalpers, and they're charging double just because they can.
You've got that is something that does happen. I will give you that. But if you keep an eye on stuff, price goes down a lot of times. I got quite a few of my DC Multiverse Batman figures off of Amazon because they just kept dropping the price on these things. And that was the only place I could find them for reasonable prices. So before I pull the trigger on something on eBay, I look on Amazon. And that, again, is another reason that I knew this Iron Man that I was talking about a couple minutes ago is a bootleg, because it's not on the Amazon.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do not allow you to sell that kind of stuff on Amazon. It's a trademark violation.
Oh, yeah, I can see that, because if they list it, they'll just yank it right down.
Yep. You do not see bootlegs on Amazon. But, and they have decent deals on pre-orders, too. There was one of the Marvel Strange figures that I don't know anything about the character. I can't even remember her name, but the figure just caught my eye. I thought it was kind of cool, and I pre-ordered it, and it was, you know, a couple bucks less since I did a pre-order on it.
Now, a few days ago, that Amazon had one of those, I think they call it the lightning deal or something, where basically whatever it is that they're offering is like half price and sells out in about 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, there was a multi-pack of, they weren't clone, oh yeah, there was like a, there were like two clone troopers, and there was a Imperial Stormtrooper variation, and then there was some First Order Stormtrooper or something, and it was going, the regular price is like 80, it was going for like 50. I saw it posted on Jedi Temple Archives. No, I was on the site anyways, and the thing popped up, and oh, it's on sale for like $50 on Amazon. And I refreshed the page a little while later, and the timestamp was, it was like an update timestamp, was like 15 minutes later. They're like, and it's sold out. I'm like, well, yeah, for, you know, four like Marvel Legends sized Star Wars figures for $50, yeah.
Which,
you know,
it's funny you should say that. I think this was like the first year that I've seen that it was really easy to get the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives off of Hasbro.com.
I want the G.I. Joe Transformer set. I haven't ordered it yet because, you know, money. And I want it. And this is, honestly, for once, I'm not concerned about it because every time I check, the damn thing is still in stock.
It blows my mind.
Yeah, well, because when they first, last year and the year before and whatever, and I mean, I would have missed it. I mean, most years, I'm missing it anyways.
I've gotten a couple of times.
The one that I did get was the Shockwave Destro set with the Hiss tank. I was able to get one of those, but I needed that because it was a Hiss tank. But most years, yeah, you can't get them. This year, I need that set again. You know why? There's a fucking Hiss tank.
Hiss tank in it.
But there's, I have checked probably half a dozen times since they first went up in August or whatever, and they're still in stock. So I'm not concerned with it. Now, when I do finally get to go order it, if it's sold out, then okay, that's fine. Then, you know,
I don't think you're going to find it. I don't think you're going to find it sold out. I think you're going to find it on clearance.
Yeah, because honestly, every time every time I look, I expect it finally sold out. Maybe not, because, or you know what? If I wait long enough on it, it might be one of those things that what ends up happening is people are buying it mostly for the figures.
Yeah, customizing fodder.
They'll unload, sometimes they'll unload the vehicles. Because, all right, well, when we had Mike on, and I said that I got that my friend at Ollie's found that, the Comic-Con set with the green Hiss tank and the red jet, he sent it to me, and before that I'd gone on eBay looking, literally the Hiss tanks, I mean, the Cobra Scythe goes for, it's not super expensive, but it goes for a good amount of money. Like the green Hiss tank, not so much.
I like the Hiss tank, by the way. That's pretty cool.
Oh, so do I. In fact, the only thing that would make it is at some point I need to go to Cobra Stickers, and I need to order a set of their custom Mobat decals.
Oh.
And I'm gonna outfit this green Hiss tank with them. Because I figure Steeler's driving it. I can see him wanting his tank to look like his Mobat. But I fully expect that if I keep holding out on the Comic-Con set, maybe at some point, maybe I'll be able to go on and just get that Soundwave Hiss tank for cheap. Not cheap. I just mean maybe I can buy it without the... Because, I mean, the Scarlet figure's nice. And you know, the Red Rattler as Power Glide, it's nice. I'm not invested in Power Glide. I don't care, basically.
Well, it's an easy custom. Really, I mean, I could make that... It's like you said, you get the stickers from CobraSticker.com. I could make that custom in a day.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and I could make
cool
it better
enough,
than they did.
But I want it for the Hiss tank. And I still maintain that Hiss tank really should not have been Soundwave. Mostly because it made sense to make a Hiss tank out of Shockwave.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense to have a Hiss tank as Soundwave.
Nah, I think they were kind of reaching at this point.
Well, in Transformers Dark at the Moon, in the second movie, in Revenge of the Fallen, Soundwave is in there and he's a communication satellite. Ah. And then in Dark of the Moon, for whatever reason, he's Patrick Dempsey's car. What the fuck?
I don't know.
But the Hiss tank, because Soundwave and the character of Straxus, a.k.a. Dark Mount, have remarkably similar color schemes, I think it should have, and he's a tank. I think they should have just used him as, it should have been Straxus, but... That's all right.
I think it's too esoteric, is probably what they're thinking.
It's character recognition. They're not, those sets, they're not going to throw an obscure character in. I mean, the other sets all had, Starscream and Hound and, obviously, there was Shockwave and There was something else, you know. I mean, obviously they're gonna throw
Jetfire.
The most Jetfire. That was the one. Oh yeah, I wanted that one too, but maybe I'll get that one someday. But again, I didn't want any of the other stuff in it. I just wanted the jet, and at least at one time that was going for a lot.
I can't imagine. But I'm glad I got that one when I did. That was, I've been lucky and I've been able to get the stuff off of HasbroToyStore.com when it hits. And you know, it's like you said, it was. I saw that it, people, you know, I'm on enough pages that I can see when somebody says, "Hey, the stuff's live," and I'm like, "Yeah, I really, I'm just not that excited about it this year, and money's a little tight." And you know, I checked a couple of days later, and I had just gotten paid, and I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I'll look," and I'm like, "Holy shit, it's still in stock! Everything is still in stock."
Yeah, it's crazy because I think, well, because usually, all right, what happens with the San Diego Comic Con exclusives is about 2 weeks after the show, they'll put them up on Hasbro Toy Shop.
Right.
And you have to sort of be online when they go.
Yes.
Because there was a time when, and even if you're online, it overloads the server and there's no guarantees you're getting what you want. But a lot of times it was like, waste a couple minutes or blink and you're probably going to miss it. And then that was, I mean, I got Zarana a couple of years ago because I happened to get Zarana. I happened to, it was her and something else I was trying to buy. She's the only thing I was able to get, but I got it. And then like a day later, there was more and then it was gone altogether. And, and I remember the Jetfire set was blink and the worst was that Starscream Cobra Commander set. That thing went lightning quick.
You want to hear like something funny about that?
Yeah.
I ordered mine from Sierra Leone, Africa. On a satellite internet connection in the middle of a jungle next to a river in a third world country. I got my San Diego Comic-Con Starscream set from
Hasbro. Now all the technology it took to connect you to the Hasbro site and actually let you order that, you realize 14 domestic customers were locked out. But I just remember I wasn't going for that set. I don't like Starscream. I've never liked Starscream.
I was a huge fan of the Seekers growing up, so I had to have that. I'm not a big fan of Starscream either, but I'm like, this is the closest thing I'll ever get to having a Seeker G.I. Joe crossover. Got to have it.
Yeah, well, I mean, so obviously, but you've got a tie to it. I don't. I like Skywarp's color scheme, but I don't have a tie to him.
See, I had a Skywarp figure when I was a kid.
I just remember I was glad that I didn't want that set because I didn't want to have to get into an online street brawl trying to get one.
Boy,
and then,
I don't think I could have put it any better than that because that's basically what it is. And then you get on the boards, you know, the like His Tank or Joe Customs and just see the trail of tears of people that weren't able to get one.
Yeah, because like one out of every three people that tried to get it, they weren't able to. And
they usually,
I mean, it's crazy.
And they get him like in their shopping cart and hit payment and they submit their payment and oh, you missed it. I think
the
most frustrating.
That's crazy.
Thing.
That's crazy. It's in your cart and you go to pay and it's like somebody else was just nanoseconds faster.
Well, it's like going to Walmart and having something taken out of your shopping cart at Walmart and ran up and paid for it real quick before you could notice.
Yeah, it looks like a Black Friday sale, basically. I remember when we were little, my sister was like two, I think, and the year the Cabbage Patch Kids were so big that people were literally leaving stores bloody because they were fighting over these things. And I remember my mother told me my grandfather had a Cabbage Patch doll for my sister in his hand. It was under his arm, like he was holding it, trying to get. And some lady tried to snatch it from him, like just tried to outright just snatch it for him, and he got into a huge argument in the middle of the store before she finally just used colorful language and just stormed away. But it's kind of like that, trying to fight people for these things. And now this year in 2016, the only thing I think that sold out was honestly the old Obi-Wan 6-inch figure.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing that because the Transformers set's still on there, the other Star Wars exclusives are still on there. Optimus Prime or somebody that was that's still on there.
Hey, did they have just out of curiosity, did they have a gem exclusive this year? Because that surprises me. I've always watched that. That one sells out almost, if not faster, than the G.I. Joe ones historically, which I've always found odd.
Well, because I got the Joe site bookmark, so I can look for Jim. Still in stock.
Wow.
The Marvel Legends set, it's still in stock too.
I remember watching San Diego Comic-Con stuff, and the Gem stuff would sell out faster than the G.I. Joe stuff, which always blew my mind. I didn't think that was possible, but it does.
I think they had it was like $100, like...
Oh, yeah, it was...
12-inch figure or something. Yeah, expensive. That sold out, I think that sold out as fast as the Star Wars and the Transformers. Well, because usually, I think most years, the Transformers ones sell out, too, with no... I mean, Joe does, too, but, you know, Transformers fans, they're rabid, you know, so they these are. Things, like, they go... I think they sell only slightly less fast than Star Wars, but I don't know if they had a... Wait a minute, let's see. I'll check. Let me see. 2016 exclusives. I typed in San, and then I started the D, and it filled in SDCC 2016 exclusives. It auto-filled the rest of that in for me.
I love how that works sometimes.
Thanks, Google, for reading my mind, you creepy, creepy bastard. Let's see, they had Space Ghost? What the fuck? Let me see, they had... This is all their shit.
Yeah, you gotta narrow it down by Hasbro.
I just can't believe that any of those are still. That's crazy.
I never would. You couldn't. If you'd have told me that set would, and especially how popular the Transformers G.I. Joe crossovers have been, if you told me that set would be in stock months afterwards, I'd have said bullshit.
Well, yeah, because who could have ever pictured it? I mean, like I said, I think, because even last year they had the Green Hiss set and whatever. Even it sold out. I don't think it sold out lightning fast, but even it did sell out. They didn't have it still in stock for months. So it's like, did they make more of these? Did they really not sell that well?
I don't know. I'd love to know that.
Because all the other Transformers
just a couple customizers, and then, you know, we kind of spread out into different categories of geekery, but we always like to come back to the roots and talk to customizers. And we're making a specific effort to get customizers on, number one, that we haven't had on before, and number two, to do something unique, and that's kind of hard to do sometimes. Tonight with us, we have Josh Jore, and he is a fantastic Star Wars customizer. Welcome to the show.
Welcome, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime.
Oh, absolutely.
Always glad to have customizers on the show.
Well, really, it gives us an excuse to geek out about customizing, especially with the work that, honestly, I, as much as I'd like to do vintage-style Star Wars customs, I wouldn't even know where to start because, I mean, what do you do? Just go buy a lot of junker figures and fix them up?
Yeah, I mean, what really started it was I got into collecting vintage and there's a lot of figures that obviously Kenner never released that were obvious ones that should have been released. And I've always kind of been artistic. I've liked to draw. I like to just create things. So I said, you know, they weren't given to us, so I'm just going to make them myself. And, I mean, I started out, pretty much actually started collecting vintage figures about last fall. So I've only been collecting about a year. And
really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I just, my first one I think I tried to do was the Han Solo in the Stormtrooper disguise, and I didn't really know where to start. I didn't know what types of paints to use. I didn't know how to go about this, so I've talked to a couple friends that are awesome as well, and one of the main ones was Steven Ward. I don't know if you guys know him from the groups. He helped me out tremendously with tips and advice on products to use, and so that was my first ones, and I hate to dismantle and ruin figures that have been around for so long, so I only try to use very beater figures, because obviously I don't want to destroy a mint figure. So I would destroy very beat figures.
Ryan went on eBay once and bought some prototype Iron Man figures that were never released in the theater in the stores, and he paid a shitload of money, and then he customized them. So, yeah. Of course, people did not take kindly to that, but to that I say, fuck you, it's his money. So, you know, yeah. But, so wait a minute, you've been doing this since last year, you started collecting last year, you started customizing last year, and your work is that good?
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. All right, you know what, I quit customizing, that's it. I'm being overshadowed by people that have been doing this for less than a year. I mean, I look at my work and it's pretty good, but damn. I mean, over the years, I've seen a lot of vintage-style Slave Leias, a lot of vintage-style Tarkins, and a lot of vintage-style variations on Boba Fett. But I've never seen a Tarkin and a Leia and like that Nelvana-colored Boba Fett that you did that looked that close to being production. Because that Tarkin figure looks exactly like something that Kenner would have made if they had made Tarkin. And after all these years, I still say fuck you for not making it, Kenner.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I wonder if there was
a
licensing issue on that or something.
Maybe. I don't know. There's so many weird gaps in the vintage line that, I don't know. That's the thing that always baffles me. With every new movie, every time whenever Empire and Jedi came out, they always re-released all the figures that had been available for the last movie. So, but it wasn't until the Power of the Force collection in 1985, the ones that had the coins and the ones that are, like, crazy hard to get a hold of for even slightly decent prices now, that was the only time they ever backtracked and did characters from previous movies, and they still missed Tarkin. But
yeah.
It was weird because, like, when they put out Empire, I would have thought that they, you know, that would have been a good time to try to fill in some of the gaps from Star Wars. And then same thing for Jedi, but they just never did. And then the Power of the Force collection, really, I think it was only like 20 figures. So, and I mean, half of it's Return of the Jedi figures that I have a feeling were actually supposed to be Return of the Jedi release figures. And then for whatever reason, they weren't. But
ducks in a crate.
But yeah, that's, dude, that's impressive. So, what got you? All right. Now, you did that cartoon-style Boba Fett. That was the first custom when I joined that group, we've actually talked about that group on the show before, the Star Wars customs bootlegs and resins. And
we've actually talked about that figure, too.
Yes, we have discussed that figure. That's right. It's so close to looking like the figures from the droids and Ewok lines they actually put out, because they were only a little bit cartoony, so they fit in perfectly with the rest of the vintage line. I mean, if you don't count the goofy repaints of R2 and 3PO, and that Boba Fett figure that you made, it fits in perfectly, and it makes you realize just how lame it was that the Boba Fett figure that they released in the droids line was just the previous figure in the same colors. It didn't bug me when I was a kid. I'm like, well, they repainted the droids, but they didn't repaint Boba Fett. I don't know if it was a cost issue or if it was just because they decided that the droids needed to be in their cartoon colors. Nobody else did, but dude, that Fett you did, it's just, God, that's fucking awesome. I mean, I've seen a bunch of those over the years, but none of them looked as clean as the one that you did. And then, you know what I love? Those power droids that come in the different colors.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny, because you watch the Star Wars movies and you realize there's a shitload of variations on the power droids, otherwise known as the gonk droids. And, you know, you put them in a different bunch of different colors. And, I like seeing customs that have a lot of variety for sources, and that works. I can't believe you've only been doing this for a year. Have you done any of the creatures or the vehicles or anything? Or are you just doing figures?
Right now, I'm just kind of sticking to figures. I have so many that I have planned. I'm just, it's just the time. I mean, there's a lot of customizers on the pages you see popping customs out in a day or two because they want to get them done, but I take immense time and pay close attention to detail because I want everything to still have that Kenner look to it, but at the same time be as screen accurate as possible.
You don't have to agree with that. I mean, there's...
So, to me, a simple head swap and repaint is kind of boring. I like to mold stuff that makes it, that differentiates itself from a simple custom to a more complex, better custom, I guess.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with that. It takes me, I don't know, several days to weeks to finish just one of my customs.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I take great time gathering the best pictures of that individual character or figure. Or for the droids Fett that I did, I went back and watched all the episodes he was in and screenshotted him so I could make it as close in color and as close to detail as possible. I've seen, like you guys have said, a lot of attempts at this figure that I really liked, but a lot of them were just simple repaints. I sculpted the chest differently because if you could tell from the figure on the packaging and the figure in the cartoon episodes, his chest was different, his chest plates, his shoulder pads were different, and he didn't have that little knob on his head that comes on the normal Boba Fett figure, so I cut that off and smoothed it out and gave him a little antenna, and I just wanted it to be different so that it didn't look like everyone else's custom. I try to go a little above and beyond.
No, I think it shows, that's for sure. And of course, everybody wants to know just, you know, basic the basic customizing stuff. What are you using for sculpting material?
Well, I didn't really know what to start out with, so I kind of just went to my local hobby store, which is Hobby Lobby, and bought just a really cheap clay. And let me see if I can find the name of it, but it's not the easiest to work with, so I still have it, and I make it work, but there's definitely, I think I'm definitely going to try something different next time around.
Yeah.
Is it Fimo?
I think it's, let me see.
I just wonder, because I was in Hobby Lobby last week, and I saw the Fimo stuff, and it comes in about, it comes in about 50 different colors, and I wondered how it was to work with, but.
You use green stuff, don't you, JD?
Yeah.
I've never used that. I use epoxy sculpt.
A lot of people use green stuff, and I haven't, just because I was impatient and just wanted to pick something up at store so I didn't have to wait for it to be shipped to me.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
But I use green stuff, but that's because I found there's a paint and hobby store here that I think only opened, I don't know, a year, maybe 2 years ago here, but I didn't know about it. I discovered it one day. I drove by, and I looked at the hours, and they kind of sucked. But it was cool to see one, and I walked in, and, you know, I didn't make any customs for a couple of years, and then I found the green stuff, and I found the Citadel paints, and unfortunately, it's not. The store, I don't have easy access to it. It's not real close to my house. It's actually a little ways away from Toys R Us, which is another store. It's nowhere near my house. So I almost never get a chance to go to these places. But when I do, at least I know what I can find there. But yeah, I use the green stuff. But I know there's...
Yeah, Brian uses... Milliput is what I use. What I
buy. Oh! It's, yeah, okay.
I don't really like it. I've been told to use Magic Sculpt next. I've heard that's a very good brand to use, and it's easier to work with. So I might.
Brian, what do you use?
I use Av's Epoxy Sculpt.
Huh. Okay.
It's a two part. You mix it together in equal parts, and you can work with it. You know, with tools, and it takes about 3 hours to harden up when you're done.
It's pretty much like green stuff.
It's what Dion uses for his stuff.
When you started, like, you started collecting, what made you decide to customize? Like, I mean, it's not... Alright, when I started customizing, it's because the Power of the Force 2 line was in stores, and really... What really did it was the Shadows of the Empire line. I love that they made a line for it. It didn't have all the figures in it that I wished that it had had. So I started customizing because I wanted my Lando Calrissian in the Imperial Guard uniform. And I wanted Dash Rendar's droid, Lebo. And there was a couple of other figures that I just wanted that, in my head, I thought Kenner probably would have made them if they'd had the chance, but sort of the lifespan of that media event ended, so they didn't. But and then later on, they went back and they made the new Shizor, but then they never updated anybody else. But that's why I started, because of the missing characters. What got you into it?
Yeah, kind of along the same lines. Like I said, I just think Kenner should have released a lot of these characters that I'm wanting to create, and I kind of just wanted to test my artistic abilities and kind of just fill in more spots on my future display. You know, you can only go so far with collecting vintage. That time is done and passed, and there's no more figures going to be released like that, so I kind of got to where I wanted to be. You know, everyone starts out just wanting to collect one of every figure throughout finish mine, and I kind of just wanted more. I kind of wanted more on just unique things to be added to my display down the road, you know. So kind of just got into customs. It seemed like there wasn't, when I first joined the groups, there wasn't many people doing it.
No, definitely
not. And now
not.
I think it's getting bigger.
I don't see too many vintage customizers.
There's a lot more people doing it, but there's few that are doing a really great job at it. So, I don't know, I just wanted to, set some goals for myself and see if I could do them. And I'm definitely getting better. My first ones were kind of rough, and I'm hoping to get a lot better as I keep going, so... I'm having fun, and I'm just kind of doing it for myself.
Well, that's, you know, those are the, definitely, I think we've stressed that many times, those are the most important things, is that you have fun, and that, you know, you're doing it to only make yourself happy, because that's really what's important. So what figures do you have planned that you're hoping to get done?
Well, like I've been telling you guys, basically, JD, I don't think I've talked to you much before this, Brian, but... No. I'm working on a Kit Bash FET right now. It's definitely the most challenging custom I've worked on.
I love that figure. And he's hoping to get it casted by somebody so other people can use the parts. Dude, this thing is so badass.
The funny thing is now that I'm doing it, I've discovered there's two more people that I know working on the figure as well.
Give some background on what the Kit Bash FET means, because I know somebody's going to be listening to this saying, eh? Explain what it is and what inspired it.
Well, basically, it was a FET figure that Kenner was going to make and release. I think it was in production line, but it didn't pass safety standards. Basically, Kit Bash means kind of like a collaboration or... a mix of different figures put together to make one. Basically, parts from multiple figures that are put together to make one full figure. So,
Now you're going to have people that assume that you're just talking about the rocket firing Bubba Fett, which he is. But in the solicitation...
This one was
a little sticker... was a completely different sculpt for FET. It was totally different.
Yeah.
And he's basically scratch sculpting the whole thing.
Yeah. Nice. This figure was advertised on some of the card backs, but it never was released. It does have a rocket-firing missile on the back, but it's not the rocket-firing FET. It's basically C-3PO's chest... Stormtrooper arms, Boba Fett head, and the legs from, I'm drawing a blank right now, the guy.
Oh, the Death Squad commander.
Yeah, there we go. And then the pack is kind of from, I believe, not a Star Wars figure. It's from like a Shogun warrior or something.
Huh.
But
nice.
Basically got parts, all the parts I needed, put them together, and then didn't realize how much sculpting I would have needed to do until I got into it. It was definitely way harder than I first planned out, but I'm making good progress, and I'm pretty much done with the entire figure minus the pack. I thought about sculpting my own, but I have a good friend that's working on this figure as well. I'm not going to release any names because I don't know if he wants me to tell anyone yet, but...
Fair enough.
He said that he was in the works of making the pack, and he might just cast me a pack so I can save some time on that.
Nice.
But I have done the rest of the figure, and it's not perfect, but I'm happy with it, and I'm thinking about, like you guys said... getting some casts made of it, because I know this figure was only made in the early 2000s by an artist. There's only a select few of them made, and you don't really see them floating around too much. I know one was sold in the last month or two, but got bought up quick. And
Did you see how much it went for by any chance?
What's that?
Did you see how much it went for by any chance?
I think it went for 200 or 250, which at first I was like, holy crap, you know, like, that's a lot of money for a custom. But then when I got into it and saw how much detail and time it took, I think I understand where that price is coming from. And yeah, a lot of people might not, because 200 to 250 for a figure that's not real and, you know, that's never was released seems like a lot of money. I mean, it's not just pocket cash for a lot of those out there, but this, if you guys know, which you said you're into customizing, this figure is very, it's a difficult figure to go about. I mean, I've seen a lot of them, I shouldn't say a lot, I've seen a couple other customs that people have done of this figure, and they're not the best, but
I can't think of guys. I've seen half-ass customs. I mean, I've seen, not half-ass, I've seen simple customs. I've seen just plain old repaints that people do that they can sell for $50. And then, I mean, I've seen figures that are glorified head swaps with a coat of paint. And again, there goes another $50. I mean, if you see the figure with, you know, all kinds of sculpting and shit done on it, that's those go for a lot, because, I mean, that person made a lot of, you know, spent a lot of time doing all that sculpting and shit.
Definitely.
But yeah, they're, like I said, if people do want these, I'm sure there will be multiples available within the next year. I know an eBay seller by the name of Mark Poon. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. He actually just released a website page showing the one he made. I think his looks the best. It looks better than mine, but I think he has had a lot more help and the money toward his project to help him out create something that is crazy good. I've just been kind of on a budget doing it with cheap products, probably under $25 worth of shit, and I'm happy with what I've created. So
that brings me to my next question that people always want to know is, what brand of paint you use?
At first, I grew up doing like car models and stuff, which I've always used Testor's paint, which is, can't think of the type of paint, but I just thought, hell, I'll just use this. Tried it, didn't dry properly.
Yeah, that's just your enamel paints for you. To it.
So I talked to customizers and came across a brand that I love that I get from Hobby Lobby called Vallejo.
Yeah.
It's an acrylic paint that you can mix with just like a drop or two of water.
Oh, I use some of that. I've got a bunch of those paints.
Yeah, I've got a couple of them.
I really like that paint. It's easy to use. It's easy to clean up. You could just clean it with water and soap. You don't have to buy like a thinner or anything like that.
Paint thinner sucks anyways. What a pain in the ass. And you know what? Half the problem with the paint thinner is, it's the toxic scent. Where it's like you open the bottle and it's suddenly like, ooh, I don't have ventilation in this room. Because, you know, it's the middle of winter and I have the windows closed and I'm trying to use this shit. Ew.
Yeah, it's like I can't afford to kill any more brain cells.
But, I use that. I use a – can't remember the type of primer use beforehand. I think it's called, like, Touch Bright or something like that. That I actually got from a automotive store that works good. And then I use a clear coat that is, can't remember what the name of that is, but basically I use primer, Vallejo, acrylic paint that you can buy from pretty much your local hobby stores, and then a clear coat afterwards to seal everything off so that
Do you prime your figures? Like, do you put primer down if you just paint them straight up?
Most of them I do put primer down. I've actually figured out that for some reason Bubba Fett's legs are made from a different type of rubber than the chest and stuff, so the primer didn't seem to properly dry on that, so I just used straight paint on that, but most of the time I use a primer on everything before I throw down the acrylic paint so that it has something to give it a base coat, pretty much.
Yeah, I primer all of my figures.
Yeah.
No, but, and I didn't used to, and then Brian was the one that told me, you know, that showed me the benefit of, you know, priming the figure, and you know, it usually just means at least one less coat of paint, because not only does it stick better, but it covers up all whatever color palette you've got, so you got basically a blank canvas, and
that's
so,
exactly how I describe it.
I didn't used to. And then he told me why I should, and then I started using the primer he uses, and now, unless I'm just doing modified paint applications on, like, if I'm not doing a repaint, if I'm just changing a couple of colors or, you know, adding detail, that's fine, but if I'm doing a whole repaint, yeah, I can't go without priming, no way.
Yeah, it's, doing a good custom is definitely time-consuming, and you definitely have to have patience, because I think that's why there's a lot of ones that aren't that crisp and clean and smooth-looking, is because most humans are impatient. We like to rush things. We want it done. We want it done in 5 minutes rather than 5 days, you know. But you really have to be patient if you want proper application of paint. And if you want it to dry properly, if you're spray painting or doing any paint, you want to do light coats and apply multiple coats, because if you just keep doing one heavy coat, usually the paint doesn't dry properly. So
yeah, totally. And I think one of the nice things,
it's kind of like a experimental. You kind of just got to experiment with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the nice things about doing vintage customs is you don't have to worry about joint rubbings too, like you do with any of the newer stuff, that's for sure.
But it's fun. I enjoy it. Keeps me busy and keeps me doing artistic things. So,
well, you know what's funny?
Interesting point about like the creatures in the vehicles. Do you plan to branch out into that at some point in time?
I'm trying to answer all your questions, and then I keep getting off on tangents.
We do that too.
I do.
I was going to say, we could rename this podcast just a bunch of tangents, but, you know, not yet. Yeah. What creatures do you have in mind? I'm very curious about this.
Well, I think, I don't know about ships. I mean, that's
Dude, thing. I can't do vehicle customs. I can't do. Yeah. Brian's done a few. I can't do them. I've done like two, and they were straight repaints. I don't have the follow through for vehicle. I mean, I can do figures, but the vehicles are just.
I've done a few TIE Fighter customs. I did the Imperial Guard TIE Interceptor. That was about the only one that I really finished that turned out nice.
Yeah, but you made Transformers customs, too. That's some dedication.
No, I did not. I made one. And it didn't transform. But anyway, what were you going to say there, Josh?
If I did a vehicle, which I probably won't because I feel like it would be too difficult, I would love to do the White Witch and the Droid series.
Cool. That was Jord's little sand skimmer thing, right?
Yeah, it was their little ship that they raced. I know two people that have made one, and I know one he does sell. It's kind of a on the down low seller. I know it's extremely expensive, and I know someone that made more of a modern one recently. I think it was shared on one of the pages. I could probably find it, but I think the page was called like Name Your Maker or something, but. He made one that was extremely awesome as well, and he said that he pretty much sculpted everything, and if he ever did go to to cast it or make other ones, however he would do it, he would probably ask around $2,000 for it. So
what? Jesus.
I don't know. It's an awesome. It would be an awesome piece to do. I think it might be a little above my level right now. Creatures. I've seen someone as well make a bantha that basically looked like it would have been one Kenner would have made. I think
nice.
Send it over to you guys. That would be something I would love to try down the road. But right now, there's just so many figures that I still want to make, so I think I'm going to try to just stick to those for now. And
Have you considered doing... vintage style like prequel or even like Force Awakens figures?
I was very close to doing it, but to me, I don't really want to, for the fact that to me, true vintage is episodes 4, 5, and 6. So
I have seen. Over the years, I have seen some prequel-based vintage-style customs, and I do kind of understand what you mean, because they don't, even though Star Wars is Star Wars, they don't look quite right, but the one I don't think I've ever seen a vintage-style Qui-Gon, so... I just wondered, that'd be kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I've thought about it, but to me, there's so many figures that Kenner could have and didn't release that definitely would keep any customizer preoccupied for a long time. To me, I think you guys might have asked this question earlier. I'm a big fan of the Cantina scene, so there's tons of creatures and aliens that I'm have planned, I have the parts for, I just need to do them from that scene. There's Luke's step-parents I want to do, Mon Martha, there's a lot, but...
Yeah, I mean, you could go on forever.
A lot of figures from Jabba's palace.
Well, and think of it this way, Jabba's palace... Of all the scenes in the original trilogy, that's where they got the closest to making... I mean, they didn't get anywhere close to making all of them. They had a big variety from there versus, you know, like the Cantina with the 5 characters and, you know, Hoth with the you know, 5 characters they made or whatever. But it's weird to think how many Jabba's Palace figures they did versus how many they didn't get to, but yeah, it's weird how all the other character selections pale compared to that one.
I think I was going to say, at first, when I first started getting into the vintage collecting, I had no interest. I didn't think I would ever buy them, and I didn't think I'd ever be able to afford the animated series, the droids and the Ewoks, but after I finished up the normal line, I kind of got a few of those in trades, which I was like, alright, well, now I gotta finish them, and now I think the droids series are my favorite figures. I just love the how different they are. I love the bright colors. So I think one of my next custom after this Kit Bashed Fett is going to be a figure from the Droids series that wasn't released in the first run of them or the unproduced figures that were supposed to be released. It was just something that Kenner, at that time, had never thought of making yet. So I'm excited for that one.
What one's that?
Another to test my artistic... ability.
And which figure is that?
I believe his name is Zatek Cha or something like that.
I'm not even sure.
Someone actually just posted a custom that someone made for them of that figure, and it just kind of made me want to make him. And after I watched all the animated series, droids episodes, I went down and kind of researched more back on background history and researched all the names and wrote all the names down of characters that were in the episodes but that never had figures made for them, because I kind of wanted to come up with my own customs for those, because you don't really ever see people doing that. So I kind of just want to try to do something different in that aspect. It kind of gets tiring seeing, in my opinion, the same customs done over and over that are simple. I want to do something that you don't see that often that is a lot more difficult to do. So
yeah, and I think that's definitely one of the things that I don't do too many Star Wars customs anymore, but you know, clone customs were huge, and I got tired of seeing clone customs, and although I'm guilty of it, you know, I made a couple, but I made them just for me, and I tried to make them different, and then I did, you know, Republic Commando customs and super articulated, but you know, again, just for me. And but it's definitely one of the things that one of the reasons I don't not as involved in the communities anymore in like the G.I. Joe customs is for the same reasons. It's a lot of the same stuff that's over and over and over again. I got nothing against the people that are doing it because they're doing it for the same reasons that I am. But you do like to find, reach out and see those unique customs that nobody else is doing. And I think that's what really catches our eye.
Yeah. To me, it's kind of almost like, man, people are just doing a bad job at customizing figures, and it's kind of almost just like these figures are being ruined even if they're beaters. I feel not as bad about using a vintage figure to do a custom if I'm taking time and creating something that's done well and that it's something different. It's I don't really know if I got across what I was trying to just say there.
Oh yeah, no, totally. That totally makes sense. So
what I basically wanted to say was so many people are destroying figures for crappy customs that are horrible. I would rather just not.
I know, it's like a swift kick in the nuts seeing that.
Yeah.
But
like you said earlier, you spend your money, you can do what you want with it, so.
Yeah, totally. So then one of the things we always do for everybody is definitely to be able to pimp their work. So where can people go to see your stuff then? Do you have a Facebook page?
My own page or anything. I kind of just share them on the custom Star Wars groups when I'm done with them. If you're really that interested, you could always just find me on Facebook and message me, and I'll be sure to answer any questions or show you what I've done. Or
spell your name, so if anybody's looking for you, they're not gonna.
My full name, my first name is Joshua. I think on Facebook, it's just Josh. So Josh, and then my last name is Joray, Joray.
Awesome. All right, man. I think we're getting pretty close to the end of the interview segment here, so we thank you again for coming on and sharing your awesome work, and we'll...
Yeah, man, this is cool. It's cool to hear about your process, because, you know, I admire your work, but it's cool to hear about, you know, how you actually go about doing this.
Definitely. I'm glad you guys showed some interest, because it's fun to talk to people about this, even too many, it might be nothing special, and...
Well, I think
we have no time for those people. So
yeah,
yeah, I'll definitely keep you guys updated on the work, and I should be starting to paint and hopefully finish painting the Kit Bash this week. So I'll definitely send over pics.
Yeah, we'll definitely. All right, like to
kick
see
ass.
All right, thanks for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You bet.